welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And welcome to a new world order. I don't know.
Yes, the new world order.
It feels like that way, but you know, everything is canceling.
The final order.
But we're not canceling.
No.
Unless they tell us we have to stay home for a couple weeks, then okay, so maybe you don't get a podcast for 2 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
Or we try and figure out Skype.
Yeah, because we're technologically savvy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yes, there's some sort of thing going around the world right now. It's like out of The Walking Dead or some movie. I don't know.
Yeah. This is how it ends.
It's kind of bizarre. I don't know. You know, people are panicking, buying toilet paper and all the food they can buy because they think that, like, the supply chain's going to shut down. And
yeah.
It's really bizarre. Like, I don't really know what to make. You know, we work in the grocery industry and like, I don't even really know what to make of it, to be honest. It's like, I can't wrap my mind around it because, like, in some ways, nothing's happened. Yes, there's a virus out there, and yes, some people have died from it, but ultimately, nothing really has, you know, and not that nothing's happened. Is it, what I'm trying to say here is, like, it seems like a very small percentage of the entire world population. But
yeah.
For some reason, people are freaking out and panicking. And the swine flu was essentially worse in 2009, and people didn't panic. And that's when people want to try to make it a political thing. I don't know. It's bizarre. But, like, they're buying toilet paper. Like, if we get quarantined for 14 days, how much shitting are you going to do for 2 weeks?
I don't know. Maybe people shit a lot.
I mean, anxiety causes your stomach to hurt, and you sit inside, you just crap a lot, maybe?
I guess so.
It's like, oh, I'm nervous. I got to go shit again. I mean, just, like, shit before you take a shower, then just clean your ass.
It's and it's made me, like, I mean, even people that aren't freaking out that much, it's made you...
You were buying into the anxiety a little bit. When you're texting me at 6:35 in the morning, I'm not awake yet, motherfucker. You woke me up, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and you're like, you guys better buy groceries. I'm like, Matt, don't buy into the panic.
It's like, calm down. People are buying everything, man.
I know.
What's crazy is like, so they have talked about shutting down the city of Houston and quarantining people, telling people to stay home. And if the grocery stores are looking like this, and you have people that haven't done their shopping, then it's an issue. But I think that they'll give, hopefully they get, if that happens, they give people fair notice and people can get what they need.
Well, I think they would. I think, I would imagine it'd have to be at least 72 hours notice, maybe 48. I think 72 is better.
So, yeah.
Gives people time. And we'll see if it comes to that. But it's like, you know, we cover films and comics and geek culture on this show. And this is almost like out of these films we watch. Just like Outbreak or Contagion or one of these movies. It's like, wow, this is like real life shit. But you know, I'm not scared. You know, I think I'm more nervous about how people react, you know?
Yeah.
Because they are hoarding food and supplies, and I have a young one. What if I need diapers for her, you know? And things like that. And so those kind of things make me a little nervous, but I'm not like scared about getting this virus or anything because apparently it's pretty high, easily recoverable from if you take care of yourself and take medicines and rest, you know.
Yeah.
It's I don't know, maybe people needed something to grasp onto in 2020 and they're like, well, fuck it, let's just panic. And you know, I don't know what people are looking seeing in this.
Well,
what do you make of it all?
It's worrying about people is definitely a one of the things that, you know, I think you hit right on the nose. I have an account, Kroger, that, you know, I call on, and the receiver over there told me that they had some water pallets in the back that they were saving. It was late at night, and a customer went into the back, saw that there were water pallets, and then ran out and said, "They got water in the back! They got water in the back!" And just, like, screaming it out like it's some, like we're hoarding the cure for cancer, and they're like, you know.
What's crazy is like,
look what they've got.
If they tell you to stay inside for, you know, 14 days or whatever it is,
yeah,
even if it's a week, they're not going to turn off your utilities. Like, essential, if they do a quarantine, essential workers will still go to work. That's power plants, electricity, and first responders.
Yep.
Medical people and things like that. So it's like, you're still going to have water. Just to say quarantine the city doesn't mean the utility plants are going to shut down.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate where I live, I'm on a well, so I don't have to worry about that. But it's just like, and I have gas cooking.
Yeah.
But it's just like, their reactions are bizarre. Like, but I can somewhat justify the water. So I think in saying all this, and we're going to talk more about how it's affecting the movie industry later in the show, I think what we're, me and Matt are getting at and saying this is like, calm the fuck down, people.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be okay. You know, use your heads, have some sense, drink a beer, smoke some weed. I don't fucking know. Just calm down. Have some sex. If we're in our quarantines, there might be a lot more babies born in 9 months.
That's true.
And I did actually saw a joke that made me chuckle. Will they be called coronials?
Yeah, coronials. So that's kind of funny.
You know, so, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's, it is a different world a week later from last week we podcasted. In some ways, people are more aware. It's also interesting to me how people are buying all this hand soap and hand sanitizer and washing their hands. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck did you do before?
You know, man.
You know, washing your hands? Because that's what they always do. When I go to the bathroom, I usually wash my hands.
They're giving now, people the stink hand.
Admittedly, maybe sometimes at home you don't always wash your hands when you go to the bathroom, but yeah. I'm in public always, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, so, yeah. There were a lot of stinky people before, you mm-hmm. know? And we'll see what the world happens. But other than that, let's bring some entertainment to people, man, and podcasts. It's so funny that we picked a post-apocalyptic type film this week.
For real.
It, with intentions that the sequel's coming out next week, but we'll get more to that. But we always start the show with Download This, and that's what we've watched, streamed, and checked out on television, streaming, Netflix, movie theaters, whatever. Matt, what did you watch this week?
This week, I watched Sudden Impact. I continued my...
The Van Damme movie?
No. Oh. I mean, sorry, not Sudden Impact. Magnum Force.
That was Wrong Sudden Dirty Death. That was Sudden Death, the Matt Van Damme movie.
Yeah.
The hockey arena. Yeah.
And, you know, I continued my Dirty Harry, you know, movie watching. And that's a good one. That's a really good sequel.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this with my dad whenever I was little, like 12. And I remember him saying, like, this guy dressed up as T-1000, and he's like, oh, that's the vigilante cop. And I was like, vigilante cop? And he's like, yeah, watch. And then he walks up to another cop, shoots him. And then I just remember some other stuff, and then I don't remember anything else. So I was kind of too young to remember, and maybe I didn't watch all of it.
Right.
And so this time I got to watch it all, and this is the movie where you find out Dirty Harry doesn't really use 44 Magnum in his gun. He uses 44 Special, which is a much lighter load. It's still very powerful, but it allows you to control the bullet more, and it doesn't have the recoil that 44 Mag has. I mean, you couldn't shoot that thing like him with the 44 Mag. Load. I mean, there's been a load.
I don't know. Sorry.
But yeah, that thing. I've always wanted. You know, I'm a big. I love movie replica stuff, and it's like, you know, one of the shotguns I own is the replica from Terminator 2, and that thing
don't
is
say
yeah. Of course. And the next one on my list is that 6-inch barrel 44 mag. They still make those classic firearms. You can order it straight from Smith & Wesson, but it's like 1,050 or something like that.
You can still buy the RoboCop equilibrium gun too.
Yeah.
It's slightly modified from what the movie modified it, I guess.
Oh yeah. You can get the Beretta. Those are cool. But it's like, you know, I'm going to have to wait until, I get, you know, something from this lawsuit.
Not fighting coronaviruses.
Exactly. Yeah. Right now I'm spending my money on, you know, food yeah. that I is non-perishable and stuff like that. So, and I've been eating out more. To conserve the food.
A lot of people I've eaten lunch out almost every day this week.
Yeah, yeah. Man. And then the wife made me get donuts this morning too. She's like, "Bring me donuts."
That might have
like,
been a pregnancy thing.
Yeah, she's had less of those pregnancy cravings this week.
Well, I mean, I would think on the fourth one, she should know how to control it by now.
Oh yeah, you figured.
And you also learned how to tell her no by the time you get the fourth one. You're like, "No, I'm not going to buy that." And
then, come on, really?
Yeah, you're like, "No, I'm not doing it." Yeah, no, not.
But with the I guess I used Uber Eats. I'm going to download this, and I had an issue with Uber Eats. So, I ordered from Taco Bell, because they had a deal. Taco Bell over around the corner from here is new to Uber Eats, so it's free delivery, and they give you, like, a little bit off the service charge. So, it's basically like ordering from there, and you only have to tip the driver. And so, I ordered, and one of the things that I ordered was this XXL burrito, and I signed up to, you know, notify me if anything's not available. and I'm supposed to have 5 minutes to respond. Well, the driver gets there, and she's like, hey, they don't have the burrito. See it instantly. I message her back. Can you replace it with this? No. Can you replace it with that? No. I was like, okay, well, just get me this. Oh, you didn't respond, so I left. And I'm like, I did respond. We're talking. And she's like, oh, I'm already gone. I left and I paid. And I'm like, this is bull crap. I was like, I want my friggin' burrito. And luckily I ordered extra food, so I still got to eat. But I got the receipt, and she didn't message me until after she paid for everything. I was pretty ticked. So she paid for everything and probably just wanted to move on to the next deal. So I had an issue with Uber Eats today. I've been having that lately. First it was Pizza Hut last month.
I can't do the food delivery. I gotta go get my own food.
Yeah, some people now...
I'm afraid somebody would like rub their hairy nipples on or something.
Some people said that they ordered from Uber Eats and they saw someone eating their fries.
Yeah.
Like they saw the driver just like, I'm picking some fries
or out of there. Drinking your Dr. Pepper or something. I'm like, nah.
Dude, yeah, that would... You probably have some people out there
I can't do that. No.
Yeah. But that was it. I mean, I'm slow.
Weak sauce week for me.
Yeah, weak sauce.
Well, I've been off work, so I've been able to watch a couple movies this week. I watched, I rented Midway. Wasn't big a fan of it as Long was, our other co-host. He, you know, saw it in theaters. He really enjoyed it. Like, I liked the last 45 minutes of it. I think that's really good. But the first hour and 15 minutes is really clunky. Like, the pacing is just off. The acting is pretty flat in a lot of places.
Yeah.
What they roll in Emmerich does really good is his action scenes are really good. It starts with the Battle of Pearl Harbor, which is almost like brushed over. And I just felt like, I get it, we're making a movie about Midway.
Yeah.
But if you're going to show the Battle of Pearl Harbor, give it a little more respect than you did, is what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to do it that way, then just open the film with that Pearl Harbor just happened, you know, like a segue type thing. But then the Battle of Midway and all that at the end of the film is really good. It's almost like Emmerich came around for the last 45 minutes of the film and said, look, I've got to shine, and he really does. The last half of the film is excellent. But the first half of the film was a clunky mess. But it's worth the rental. The one that I rented that I really liked, I rented Knives Out. That's a good fucking movie.
I've been wanting to.
If you haven't seen it, rent that. It's gripping from beginning to end. It's an excellent whodunit. It's so well acted from everyone involved. Your boy Chris Evans is in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really good. You know, Rian Johnson, you know, as much as people maligned him for his Last Jedi, not us because we liked The Last Jedi, but some people did, you know, that's where he shines. Like, if you've ever seen Brick or Looper, some of his other movies that are kind of like, you know, multiple storylines and mysteries involved, you know, he's really good at that stuff, man. He's an excellent director when it comes to that. Like, Looper was fantastic, but Knives Out is really, really good. Daniel Craig plays, you know, Daniel Craig gets to, like, show off his acting chops, not just being James Bond. He's really good in it. And
that's cool.
I felt, too, the twist is nice.
It's Jamie, like, Lee Curtis is in it, too, right?
Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Yeah.
I felt that the twist is well done, and I honestly didn't see it coming, you know? Some people say, like, you know, I hate that when people, oh, I saw it coming when they're watching whodunit. No, you fucking didn't. You know, there's always, like, if you watch, this is one of those kind of movies where if you watch it with, like, four or five people, you know what I'm talking about. There's going to be one motherfucker in that room that's like, oh, I saw it coming. No, I didn't see this. They pulled off the twist and Knives Out very well. I didn't see it coming. So you can watch those four or five people. If one said they saw it coming, you can slap them. Cause you're in the fucking way. But a really, really good movie. Other than that, man, I bought a new TV on vacation. So, you know,
I've been testing
out the Ultra HD and had Avengers Endgame on this afternoon. That was pretty awesome. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, that looks really good on it. You know, bright colors and stuff like that. Watched an episode of The Mandalorian, which was really, you know, almost anything newer looks really great in it. Some of the old stuff, you can tell it, like, with the HDR, it, like, sometimes moves almost too fast and tries to catch up. So other than that, I've been enjoying it. I felt like there was another movie I watched, but Maybe it was just, oh, I did watch with the kids that Abominable, the snowman, the Yeti. Oh, yeah. That was actually a pretty decent little kid flick.
Yeah?
That wasn't bad. You know, it was enjoyable. The kids liked it.
Is that free on Vudu?
I rented it on, it ain't been out that long, because I rented it on Redbox.
Okay. I forget what I saw.
I think Smallfoot's on Vudu.
Maybe
Smallfoot. Yeah, there was a couple of Yeti animated movies. And the kids rented that Will Smith one, The Spies in Disguise, but I didn't really watch that with them.
Oh, where he's a pigeon?
Yeah, he turns into a pigeon or something. Yeah. I don't know. They were watching it. I'm not really sure what was going on. But I rented some movies when I was off. I still want to try to rent, maybe tomorrow night, I want to see Ford vs. Ferrari still.
Yes.
And that's the only thing I haven't rented this week that I wanted to rent. So I might try to rent that before I go back to work and watch it. And is it safe to rent a Redbox? Well, I probably should sanitize the case, maybe.
Maybe. Bring maybe. Some Lysol. Yeah. Or pee on it.
Grab it with my shirt out of the case. Yeah. You
know. Use your own urine. Just spray it.
Or just whip my dick out right through the Redbox and piss on this case. So I was like, what are you doing? And you pick it up and it's all drip dry. And you're like, they're looking at you like, don't worry, man. I'm sanitizing it.
Yeah, man. It's like urine is filtered through your kidneys.
That'd be awesome. But, yeah, it's all I've watched this week. So I did watch a couple of movies.
Okay.
You know, new movies, not just old shit like you motherfucker. So.
Yep, 1973.
But no, that's okay. You know, we need to do a Dirty Harry movie on the show. Maybe we can do one. You know, we still have Comicpalooza coming up, pending no movement of that show.
But, yeah.
We have Sequel Month coming up, starting in 2 weeks. Start Sequel Month for April. And maybe after Sequel Month, in between Sequel Month and Comicpalooza, we can throw in Dirty Harry or something. That'd be a good one to talk about.
Yeah. And it still holds up today. Still got some charm to it.
Yeah, well, I have no problem doing old films. I like doing old films. And I'm always down for some Eastwood.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. So,
but let's get into today's feature film. So it's interesting. You know, we have all this virus stuff going on. Last week we did The Fountain with Hugh Jackman, which is about immortality and the search for the meaning of life and stuff. And while people are out there struggling to survive this pandemic, and not struggling to survive, some people are, but then struggling to cope with this pandemic, that's a better word. And now we pick a movie that is a post-apocalyptic film, where if aliens showed up, we assume they're aliens, we don't know, they show up on this planet and they fuck us all up, and that is the John Krasinski directed A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Which is probably the most recent film we've ever done. I was looking through the list. We did Mad Max Fury Road. We did The Hateful Eight, but those were both 2015-16.
Okay.
Quiet Place was 2018, just 2 years ago. And this movie came out in theaters. I did not see it in theaters. I waited until it came out on video. I remember I rented this to watch it. And, you know, it struck a chord with people. It kind of did well at the box office through word of mouth. And I know you hadn't seen it until this week. And I remember when the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, this is really good. And I watched it again this week, and I still was like, wow, this is really good. It held up really well. I had some minor beefs with it the first time I watched it, but I realized that some of those questions were answered watching it the second time that I guess I didn't pick up on the first time. But then some questions are going to be answered in the helpful sequel that got delayed this week because of coronavirus. So that was the reason we picked this movie. It's a sequel comes out next week, or was supposed to come out next week.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's do A Quiet Place leading into the sequel. Well, thank you, coronavirus. You fucked up our plans for tying it into the sequel. But that's okay. We did it anyway. So your first impression watching this movie. Oh, well, to summarize it. You want to summarize it? I can summarize it.
Yeah.
I'm already talking. Basically, in the future, or not, maybe not in the future. It doesn't really say it's future. It could just be now. In this time, there have been these creatures that have come to Earth or appeared on Earth or if you came from the Earth, we don't know, that have wiped out a lot of humanity. And it's based on sound. They have ultra sensitive hearing. If they hear you, they kill you, basically. There is no taking you captive. These aren't these kind of aliens. They kill you.
They're also blind.
And they're blind, yes. They can't see. They use their hearing. So a family, which is Jonathan Krasinski directed it, but he also acted in it along with his real-life wife, Emily Blunt, and some child actors. So it opens up with a sequence at the beginning of the film where you kind of get a feel for the world of how they interact. They happen to know sign language. They have a daughter who's deaf, so they use sign language, and they don't wear shoes, and they're searching for medicines. And essentially, in this world, they have to survive by being quiet and everything. And but things do not go as well as planned. They lose their young son early in the film, and then it jumps forward to like a couple hundred days later, you know, and she's pregnant, his wife with a baby during this apocalypse. So they are working on building a almost like a fortress in this old house where they can have this child and soundproof the house and hopefully protect themselves from these alien creatures. And but as in any film, things don't go the way they planned. So that's basically summarizes what A Quiet Place is. So your first impression of this film, man, for being a first time watch?
I think this movie has a lot of that old school horror kind of approach to it, where it really, you know, it really relies on the performance from the actors, especially since they can't talk.
Yeah.
They don't really talk a whole
first
lot.
First line of dialogue is 38 minutes into the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they don't talk. Not really. Through sign language, they do. And I think the scares and the frights, it's not really jump scares. It's like, it has you on
genuine tension.
Yeah. And Krasinski, he knew what to focus on. He knew to focus on the people. Mm-hmm. He focused less on the monsters, and you become invested in these people.
Yeah.
And you're just on edge the whole time watching this film, and you're getting quiet yourself in the room because you're like, oh, I should.
They said that's what was happening in theaters.
Yes,
if people were getting mad, if people were eating popcorn or whatever, like, shh.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that, and I was I watch other people's takes on the movie too, and Chris Stuckman had done a review on the movie, and some people had let him know that they were getting annoyed with people coughing or talking a little bit during the film. They're like, hey man, you got to be quiet, dude. You're about to get taken out. There's a monster going to swing in here. And you see that they're armored. You see little newspaper clippings, kind of like watching Nine. Mm-hmm. You see little paper clippings of what happened. So you get an idea.
That's one of the things I picked up on the second time watching it. I was noticing those things.
And it's crazy. So it explains why there's so few people and there's no military presence at all in the movie, because they probably all died. Because they're armored, except for, I guess, whenever they open up their face to hear, they're probably vulnerable. But Emily Blunt sells it. Krasinski sells it.
Even the kids are good.
Kids are great. Yeah. Great performances all around. I don't think there's a bad people performance. Even Krasinski played the monster.
Yeah, he did some of the mocap for it.
So he was the protagonist, the antagonist, and the director. So
what's crazy is too, as much as he did focus on the people and all that, he also wanted the monsters to be really unlike anything you'd seen before, scary and memorable too. And I think he pulled that off as well. They did do a good job with that, because these monsters are genuinely like pretty frightening.
They are.
There's a couple of super intense scenes in this film. Obviously, the bathtub scene is probably the most intense. She's sitting there fixing to give birth to this baby, and the thing is coming up the stairway, and it's just like, if you feel like you're holding your own breath with her, you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
And it's just the long, drawn-out horror scenes.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, what's going to happen? You're like, you're just tensed up because the scene's taking so long, and you know, it's not done in a way that makes you bored or wish that the scene would just be over with, in a bad way. Right. At least you just want to, well, what's going to happen? You're just anticipating. So, you know, very, very good job. I mean,
and he had an excellent cinematographer on this film that, like, I think the way it's shot, there's some wide scenes, but then there's some real scenes where the camera is just right. Like when they're in the underground part of the house in the basement where he built the soundproof room for the baby, and she turns around, one of the creatures got in, and she's like, holy crap, she didn't realize one was in there with her.
Oh, yeah.
And just the way the camera is angled where you can see her reaction, see the alien, and then the alien goes underwater, and you're like, motherfucker.
Dude, yeah,
and
we it's just both
like,
said that.
But it's just like, it's not in your face shot, but it's not too far away. It's like, I felt like camera work in the film helped sell the film, too.
Yeah. It was like, I compared that scene to like seeing an alligator go into the water and you're just like going to wade through the water as well.
I remember the first time I saw this film, I was like, oh, no fucking way, I'm done.
You know, yeah. Like,
there's no way at that point. Like, fuck this, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be able to go out there and move. I question my own ability to react in that moment. But it's like Emily Blunt as like a, you know, she plays a very strong mother in this in this movie.
I mean, she's a great actress, period, but she's really good in this movie.
Yeah. The first movie I ever saw her in was Devil Wears Prada.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, right? And it's like I always picture her as the receptionist from, from Devil Wears Prada. But she's so much more than that role. I mean, she can do so much.
Well, and then Krasinski wasn't even going to cast her because he didn't want to show bias to her. But then, like, the studio, I guess, didn't like some of the people we wanted to cast.
Yeah.
So she was like, look, just cast me. I'll do it. And he's like, I don't know. And the studio was kind of like, just cast her. And he's like, okay, so I guess I'll cast my wife.
You know? Yeah. And, man, this movie paid dividends. What? $17 million as a budget. And then it grossed $188 million domestically. And then worldwide, it was $340 million. Yeah. So this
it's one of those films huge. That... I remember when it came out a couple of years ago, it became kind of a phenomenon. It played well at theaters for several weeks. People were telling their friends about it. They were going to see it in droves, and it became kind of a pop culture event in a way.
Yeah.
To go see A Quiet Place. And that's how I heard about it. I was like, man, I need to see this movie. And I just never made it in theaters to see it. And I rented it when it came out, and I really liked it. I like the fact that it's only an hour and a half. And it shows. It's real similar to the movie we did last week, The Fountain. Sometimes you can make a really good, epic movie, and you don't have to be 2.5 hours long. Now, I have no problem with a movie being 2.5 hours long, being epic. But, like, if you can do the right amount of tension, the right storytelling, and the right director, you can make a really epic film that's only 90 minutes long, and you don't feel shorthanded, you know? Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
Or shortchanged, I guess, should be the right word.
And I guess it took me so long to see this movie because I drift... You know, there's no secret. I drift towards slashers, you know. I like Hellraiser. I like Friday the 13th.
See, I'm like the opposite. Like, I can watch sci-fi horror like this. This I'm down with.
And it made me reappreciate the long, drawn-out thriller kind of horror movies like this that we used to see more of. Phantasm was kind of long and drawn-out and creepy. Mm-hmm. Not to this extent, but, you know, in Phantasm...
It's probably more drawn out.
Yeah, more drawn out.
Yeah.
But this is, a great film, and it makes you feel like horror is still alive today. Horror is not dead. It's not a dead genre. It still produces, and we still have successful films that can be made in that genre.
Right. Well, and I think, like, this movie, too, you know, when it comes to science fiction, usually I kind of can accept that, like, things are an absolute, is the way the universe is. But, like, this is one of those movies, like, I legitimately wanted to know more. Like, I actually want to see what happened before they... And it looks like we may get that in the sequel. The sequel from the trailers, it looks like we're going to get some pre-them hiding stuff, you know, what happened.
Yeah.
And like, I legitimately want to see that with this film. And that was my first problem whenever I first saw it, was like, okay, like, there's so much unexplained in it, you know?
Yeah.
It explains just enough, but it left a lot of stuff unexplained that I want to answer for it. One of those... was what you said earlier, like, where's the military and all this? You know, like, why, you know, did they get wiped out? You know, where's the government? Where's the rest of the people? And like I said, there's newspaper clippings to show you some of it.
Yeah.
But there are so many things, like, how exactly does the hearing work? You know, like, he explains a little bit the waterfall scene. Like, you know, if there's too many noises around, they can't bother you, the water can protect you. So my whole thought was that was like, okay, so why don't you just stay near the water the entire time? You know, search for a house along the water somewhere.
Yeah.
So there were certain, like, little nitpicky things like that I wanted answers for, but not enough that it took away from the film for me, you know, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I really want to know more about how these creatures work. Like, where do they come from? Do they come from our planet? Are we supposed to assume they're aliens? You know, things like that. And I guess I did read up that even the newspaper clips don't really say. Like, I guess there's a newspaper clip that says, where did they come from? I don't know. I'd have to look, you know.
Yeah. Let's see if you can freeze frame it right at that spot and see what you can come up with. And, man, it just ends on a crazy note with all the monsters headed to the cabin.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they said they knew there were three in the area, that he had confirmed three monsters there. So they figure out, like, high frequencies mess up their hearing. And they open up their little thing and they can shoot them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thing at the end of the film, okay? So, like, the dad, you know, Krasinski, they didn't really name the characters, do they?
I don't
think so. I don't think mom, the there's kids, mom yeah. and dad. They have names on the casting, but I think in the movie there's mom and dad.
Yeah.
So Krasinski sacrifices himself essentially for his children, mm-hmm. So they can be saved. Because the children end up separated from the parents, and they get cornered by one of the creatures, and so Krasinski goes to rescue them, and he essentially has to sacrifice himself to save his kids. So he screams, and the monster attacks him, and it's brutal and sad. So the kids get back to the house, and she hands the baby to the little one because she knows they're going to come. And one creature gets in already, and they use high frequency from the daughter. He had did like a cochlear type implant on his daughter, who's deaf. He was trying to get her to be able to hear.
Yeah.
And so the hearing for the monsters would mess with her frequencies, and she would turn it up, and the high frequency would harm them. She discovered this earlier in the film. So they essentially use it to destroy the creature that is in the house already. And so then I guess from the shotgun blast, all the other creatures heard it. So the film ends, like you said, with her and her daughter standing there getting ready to turn up her frequency thing and bring it on. So like mm-hmm. the ambiguous thing where they're just going to sit there and try to shoot all these creatures.
There ain't no way.
Because if they bum rush the house, I was like, or you're supposed to assume they're all going to die.
That's what I would
assume. They accept their fate.
If I didn't know that there was a second one, then...
Right. Yeah. There being a part two coming out eventually in 2020, yeah. It kind of changes things now. Like, okay, because obviously in the trailer for the sequel, we see them moving forward. She's even carrying the baby in the trailers, like they move forward, so we know it takes place. So they must survive the farmhouse now.
Had to
have. You know, so we'll see when it finally comes out. But overall, though, man, I think A Quiet Place is a... in the most recent years, you know, there's been... The last decade of film had a lot... You know, we got the return of Star Wars, and we had Mad Max Fury Road. It's really good stuff. And I think A Quiet Place is right up there, one of the better films to come out in the last decade. I think Jonathan Krasinski, who is mostly known for comedy and doing The Office, and now he's doing some serious stuff. He's Jack Ryan, of course, on Amazon's show. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason he almost didn't take this film, because... He was fixing a prep work for Jack Ryan, and he was going to be filming Jack Ryan for several weeks, and he didn't want to be away from Emily and his two daughters, and he was like, well, I want to stay with y'all, and his wife, Emily Blunt, was like, you'd be crazy not to direct this. This is good, you know, this is a good script. It was on Hollywood's top 10, I guess it was a spec script, which means a couple of writers wrote it and they tried to sell it. It was one of the top 10 spec scripts for 2016-17 as it was selling around, trying to find somebody to make it. And so it worked out. He was able to shoot it in 60 days and still finish it up and go film Jack Ryan. And because he almost didn't do it. Dang. And but I'm glad he did. He's definitely got an eye for director. I know a lot of people are pushing that they think him and Emily should be Mr. Reed Richards and Sue Storm for the Fantastic Four movie. And I can see that. I think they'd be great in it.
Yeah, I can see that. And then Arnold as the Thing.
Get a little old, though. But
we got to get Arnold in there somehow. You got Stallone in the MCU. We got to get Arnold in the MCU. Maybe as an Eternal, you know, make an appearance as the Eternal.
Or he could be a Kree. I don't know.
Yeah, or a Kree.
but I think A Quiet Place is really well done. I give it a solid A easily.
I think A minus.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely the conversation.
It does so much right. It's definitely a throwback to old monster movies and tension-filled movies.
Mm-hmm.
Some really memorable sequences in it. The bathroom sequence, the water sequence, just some stuff that's just legitimately scary. I mean, the whole film sets it up from the beginning when their young child is killed. Right away, you know that this movie's not playing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you're in for an intense ride. From the beginning of the film. Yeah, I mean, it gives you this horrifying opening scene. You're like, well, fuck, where do we go from here? You know? And it goes nothing but to hell from there in some ways.
Yeah.
Gosh. But, you know, it's definitely an intense film. And and even though I had seen it before, I watched it last night. It kind of had me like, okay, I need to settle down now before I go to bed. I watched it was over like at 12:15. I'm like, okay, I want to go to bed now. You know? So it definitely is one of those kind of movies that has that intensity to it, you know. But definitely a good film. It's on Amazon Prime right now. So if you've never bothered to see A Quiet Place, you should take the time to watch it because, you know, you don't need to go out to the malls right now or movie theaters. Because,
that's right.
You know, you don't want to shake anybody's hands or sit where someone might have licked.
Hmm.
I don't know. They may.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. So, but A Quiet Place. Watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
And so, you know, we usually do the news. And this week there hasn't been a lot of news, but there is news. So we did A Quiet Place because the sequel was supposed to be out this coming Friday. And, well, that's not happening. Movies are being delayed. Hollywood is being affected by this left and right. They pushed A Quiet Place 2 indefinitely. Krasinski released a statement saying he doesn't know when it's going to come out. He's hopeful that it's still this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just to bear with him, they can't wait for people to see it. It's not the only film. Disney is shutting down all production of all their films. They closed Disney World up right now.
Disneyland?
Disneyland. Or Disneyland. You know, they have pushed back the release from Mulan. And I'm wondering if Black Widow's next, you know, if it's going to get pushed back. We talked last week about No Time to Die. The new James Bond film got pushed back. Apparently, the Warner Brothers is not halting production on their films. The Matrix and The Batman are still in full production in all their other films. And it's strange because a lot of The Batman is being filmed overseas. I mean, aren't they using Scotland as Gotham City, you know, or something like that over there? Yeah. So, and The Matrix is being, a lot of that's being filmed overseas too. I know they, well, The Matrix was doing production like in Chicago or something, but I think it's supposed to move for some location shooting.
Yeah.
So, interesting how this is affecting the film industry. I get the movie theater thing. I get why A Quiet Place right now moved back, and even James Bond, recent films. But, like, shutting down production of films just doesn't seem cost-effective at this point for something that, because most of the time these sets are closed, there's no one else is allowed on, you know, I don't know. But I wonder how this could affect the film industry going forward, you know?
Yeah, and we've already...
I guess it depends on how long it all lasts, really.
No sports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Suspended hockey. Basketball, hockey, they've all suspended operations.
Soccer? You know how bad it's got to be for Italy to cancel soccer. I mean,
here in Houston, they canceled the rodeo, which is a major entertainment event. Lots of Comic-Cons, like I said, across the nation are postponing a couple of months.
Yeah.
It's interesting. schools are being closed.
Yeah, our schools
are both closed. Our sons are in the same karate program. The karate program is not delayed. They're still, they're just asking to make sure you bring your kids to class and not sick and clean hands and things like that. No karate tomorrow, though.
We don't have karate tomorrow.
And that being said, I'm mostly disappointed. I can't go watch Quiet Place. I can't watch James Bond. What else am I? Oh, Fast and Furious 9 got delayed. Not that I give a fuck about that franchise anymore. you know, a lot of people are looking forward to Mulan. It got delayed.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, the virus apparently is if you touch someone or if you come in with droplets. If you're sitting in a movie theater with a bunch of people, like, unless that person directly contacts you, I don't know. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but AMC theaters aren't closing. They're going to stay open, but they're going to only sell half tickets to the theater, so that there's, I guess people don't have to sit next to each other. It's like, you can sit way over there, hey, what's up, man? Yeah, so, so
that's funny.
That being said, though, that's been the biggest news out of the industry this week. It's cancellation of films and things like that. The Mandalorian Season 2 did wrap production to get ready for their October release. But no new trailers, no real major news, because the world is affected by this pandemic that is going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Unfortunately, that's the case. Even Tom Hanks. It's got Tom Hanks.
He's in quarantine. Yes, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson are in quarantine in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And goddamn it, coronavirus, you better not take Tom Hanks. But no, he gave up an update today, actually, saying that they're doing fine. They got to stay in isolation for another couple weeks till they fully recover.
Someone rolled him a Wilson... volleyball, so that was pretty funny.
And they, they were down there. He's filming an Elvis Presley biopic. He's not playing Elvis, he's playing like Elvis's manager.
Oh, okay.
And so he was down there filming that, and then when he got struck with the virus. And so, you know, he's been the biggest celebrity so far. There were rumors going around that Jackie Chan had been quarantined in China and that he had it, but that was never confirmed.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with some of the overseas stuff, you know, if it's true or not, you know.
Yeah.
But that's really been the biggest celebrity is Tom Hanks, you know, and that has said he had it. I wonder, though, I guess it's just a matter of how far it goes now. What else happens? Will Black Widow get delayed?
Yeah.
Will, you know, Spider-Man 3 is supposed to start production in July. you know, Tom Holland said the script is ready and they're supposed to start production. The Eternals is currently filming. Shang-Chi just shut down pre-production.
Wow.
They were supposed to start going to Baha'u'llah before the cameras, like, in a few weeks. But Shang-Chi has shut down production. The director has isolated himself because he's doesn't have it, but I guess came in contact with somebody that does.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Disney halted production on films, does that mean they halted Eternals also? I guess so.
Probably. I would assume so.
I wonder if Eternals, though, comes out in November. It might be in post-production already.
Yeah.
You know, because that's got to be a special effects.
Maybe everyone just works from home.
Maybe. I'm just glad the Star Wars sequels got finished before the shit show started.
Yeah.
You know.
Now we can turn it on Disney Plus when that's ready.
Yeah. And then, as we're saying, Disney is releasing Frozen 2. Was not supposed to come to Disney Plus until, like, May. It's coming out Sunday.
Oh, nice.
They're going to put on Disney Plus early because of all this going on. They felt like, hey, let's give people something to watch, which is unheard of because the movie just came out on DVD a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's already been watched about 10 damn times in my house. It's my daughter. Hey, but you know what? I guess that could have been on my download list. It's actually better than... I don't know if it's better than Part 1, but I like the songs better in it than Part 1.
Is Let It Go in there?
No. I mean, there's like a...
How do you top Let It Go?
I don't know. This music's better in this one.
Maybe as a whole.
You can watch it on Sunday, though.
Okay.
When it hits Disney Plus.
Maybe
I'll... And Jay and Silent Bob reboot hit Prime today.
Oh, nice.
So you need to watch that before next week's movie.
Yes.
Which we will talk about in a minute.
For sure.
But, yeah. But, so I don't know. I guess it's just a matter of how far this goes. If it goes on for another month, it's going to cause more delays in the film industry, more things. If it goes on for 2 months,
yeah,
3 months, then who? If it goes on for 60 or 90 days, God knows what's going to happen to everyone in the world and to all kinds of productions and films and things like that. But hopefully for the best that they find a vaccine or it slows down or something, something happens. I don't know. I'm not going to use the word miracle or anything like that, but just something happens that slows down and we get back to a normalcy.
Yeah, I can't wait for this stuff to be over, because it's like, you know, I work for someone that, or a company that supplies water, and I get calls all the time.
Wow.
And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of companies, they don't make a whole lot of money off of water.
Right.
No vendor does. Even, you know, stores that produce their own water, it's like 30 cents a case is the average.
Well, I've heard that your competitor, Dr. Pepper, that they are already out of Deja Blue in their Houston warehouse.
Yeah.
And they will be like another week before they get it from Dallas, if they even get it.
And Pepsi is actually slowing down their own production because they're like, why are we going to make all this water if that's all they're going to buy? And we make all this, like, they're going to do really good on volume.
And that's
but they
the thing,
can't.
The supply is there.
Yeah.
But
the revenue,
you can't get it to the stores fast enough to keep up with the demand. And that's what people need to stop panicking about. There's no slack of supply. No one stopped going to work. Production hasn't stopped. You know, people act like they're not going to be able to get this stuff. Like, things are still being made. The world is still running.
I think you're going to hit a... this is definitely a spike. We're in a spike.
Yeah.
I think...
It'll slow down.
If there's no announcement of the city closing down in a couple days...
Well, that's what pisses me off, because March 31st, Rise of Skywalker comes out. And God damn it, I want to walk into... Because with Force Awakens and Last Jedi, I bought the Target editions.
Yeah.
So I want the Target edition this time. If I can't walk into Target when that movie comes out, I'm going to be pissed. I might have to order it.
I have it on pre-order for
Voodoo. Yeah, I saw you pre-order it. But
I got
to have
16.
My physical copy, though, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I might have to fucking pre-order it on Target.com so I get it delivered. Because that's one thing they probably won't. Like, the mail never stops. It would be rare for the mail to stop.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, God damn it. Better get my fucking Star Wars so I can watch it on my new TV in a couple weeks. But I might have to log into your Voodoo just to watch on the new TV.
I'm going to have to take a look. I just forgot. I used Groupon, and I got some of those spring-loaded glitter bombs. And I sent one to my old boss, and then one to a friend of mine. And I gotta see if they got delivered.
Why? You need so much help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How does your wife put up with you?
She just shrugs her shoulders and says, "Well, can't get out of it now."
And if you act up, if she acts up, you just put one in the pink, one in the stink.
That's right. The shocker.
Oh, she would kill me if she ever heard
Shooter McGavin.
If she ever listened to the show sometime, I'd be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. You and me both.
But
because I'm guilty by association.
Fucking right you are.
Mm-hmm.
So don't throw me under the bus. Well, let's discuss next week's show.
Yeah.
We're going to keep things... We're going to lighten things up a little bit after a post-apocalyptic film, and hopefully there's other things to talk about besides the virus next week. Maybe some news will come out, or it'll be just more negative news, but whatever. We'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to lighten things up in kind of a prelude to sequel month, if you would, because in some ways this movie is a sequel, but not really. It's more like a sidequel in a way, because there's talks in about things that happened in Clerks. And, of course, I am talking about Kevin Smith's Mallrats.
I've never met a person who lives in as much fear of his mother as you do.
You know what I should tell my mother what we do in here at night?
What, that you play video games and I fall asleep unfulfilled?
Oh, she calls you callow in here. You say that like it's bad. Well, it means frightened and weak-willed.
That was the only part of the letter I thought was complimentary.
This is Brody's private hell.
Where the hell did that come from? What's going on here?
And these...
Brody man, noochie-noochies.
...are his friends.
Ow!
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
What's a stink palm?
Take your hand, you stick it like this. There, now you shake hands with the guy. You know how long it takes for that smell to come off?
If you stare at these things long enough, you're supposed to see some kind of hidden three-dimensional picture.
Oh, yeah, look, it's a sailboat.
You saw it too, damn it!
We slept together one time, remember, in high school, that ski trip?
That was you?
Dude, this looks like your mom.
Bye-bye, Easter Bunny.
There is no Easter Bunny!
You know about this game show thing they got going on here? Well, we need you guys to somehow ensure that it doesn't happen.
Fly, badass, fly!
Good evening, and welcome to Truth or Date.
Second suitor, would you ever make whoopee in public?
No, I think that's kind of personal. I don't think I should answer that.
Mallrats.
You said it was a good size.
When a girl says it's a good size, it's a nice way of saying that it's small.
What else did you expect from the director of Clerks?
Hey!
Yes.
One of my favorite Kevin Smith films, this was a movie that I watched a lot when I first saw it because I really liked it. I know as a Kevin Smith film, it doesn't hold up as well as Mallrats or as Clerks and Chasing Amy does from his early works where you watch it now. But I still like Mallrats, and I'm looking forward to watching it and talking about it. It's got some great Jay and Silent Bob. So the reason I said it's a sidequel is because there's mention of things happening in Clerks. So I guess you assume that maybe at some point Jay and Silent Bob left a quick stop to go to the ball during this movie. And that's why it's kind of a sidequel. But it's a Kevin Smith film, which is I love any of his stuff. So you know I don't hate it when I say that it's not as a hold up as well. I still like Mallrats a lot. It introduces us to Brody and to several other characters that really never appeared again, other than Brody. He's probably the only one that really came back. You know, and because he came back in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back in a reboot.
My favorite. Yeah, well, we'll talk about our favorite scenes, but it's like a. This is a stink hand, man.
Yeah.
The stink hand.
This is probably a little more juvenile when it comes to the jokes and Clerks.
Yeah.
But that's what Kevin Smith was trying to do. He was trying to make, like, his film with this. Where Clerks, I think he was, like, trying to impress people. And then Mallrats, he's like, you know what? Universal Pictures gave me some money. I'm going to make a fucking movie that I want to make.
Yep.
And definitely a throwback to, like, 80s comedies and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. You know?
But it should be a fun one to talk a little more lighthearted next week because... after these heavy films we did. We did, like, all these manly action films. Then we did a couple of, like... Well, The Fountain was a pretty deep film. And then this week is a pretty post-apocalyptic kind of scary film. So let's do something funny and fun. and definitely comic related. There's all kinds of comic jokes into it. And the great Stan Lee, of course, cameos in Mallrats.
Yes.
So that'll be fun.
Much younger Stan Lee.
Yes, so that'll be fun to talk about on next week's episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. But other than that, man, you know, if I know there's a lot going on, and I want to ask people to join our Patreon, but if you feel like it, join our Patreon. We are going to do 1998's Godzilla for the month of March as our Patreon episode.
Yes.
So that should be out here in the next week or two. And it's only $2 a month, man. You get an exclusive episode. And we still have those mini casts coming, but things have been kind of not in regular motion this week with the craziness of the world. But it's all coming. But you go to rebelradiopodcast.com and click the Patreon link to join those. And also follow us on all social media, as always. And we appreciate all the support you give us for the Rebel Radio. And that's all I got today, man. Thank you for listening. Hopefully we brought you some entertainment for an hour in the craziness of the world this week. And be safe out there. Be sensible, too. You know, and treat people with respect, too. Don't forget what it's like to be a human being. Because there's people out there working to give you the things you need, whether it's toilet paper, hand sanitizer, or hand soap, or, I don't know, condoms, because you might want to have sex with your indoors for 2 weeks.
Man, if the Walmart employees that I ran into are being nice, it's like, one was like, hey, how many water do you want? You want me to put one or two in your basket? And I was like, two, please. He's like, no problem, sir, gotcha. Yeah. And I was like, holy crap, where am I?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Just be a human being. Don't forget what that's like. Sometimes, in moments of crisis, people forget their manners, and they act like fucking assholes.
Yes.
And but until next time, and thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
As always, remember, just go there and do it and be safe about it.
Wash your ass.
Yes, with a bidet. Have a good one.
With a bidet.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.